Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I am Connor.
And I'm Dylan. And I have a cold, so I feel like Sarah Michelle Gellar today.
Oh my God, what does that mean?
I don't know, but I feel like she talks like she has a cold.
Oh my God.
Actually, that's more like my Lauren Marcus voice.
Lauren Marcus.
Anyways, Connor, you have a list that you brought today.
Okay, there's so many things that have been happening. I didn't normally do this, but I made a list.
We haven't really recorded recently where we've been able to just like... talk.
Okay. Also, I do want to say on a recent episode we recorded before the Grammys, I predicted that Demi was going to release an original song and it was going to be a ballad and it might cover the last like year or 2 years of her life. And I was right.
You are the soothsayer of Demi.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's hard. It's like a hard listen though.
I know. It's so sad. Anyone.
And then her vocals. Slayed the national anthem.
I know. At the Shakira and J-Lo concert.
That's right.
It was so good.
Yeah, she was amazing. But all the performances were good.
When Shakira was playing the drums though, that thing you tweeted.
So yeah, so anyone who didn't watch the halftime show, Shakira and J-Lo performed. And Shakira did it all.
Yes.
Including she did some drumming. And it reminded me of this scene in All Stars 4 of Drag Race when Alaska was wearing like this grungy rocker outfit and was drumming. And I tweeted a meme. I said, Alaska drummed on All Stars 4 so Shakira could run. And I tweeted it and Alaska mentioned it on her podcast that Didn't call me out by name, but quoted the tweet verbatim. So
oh my God.
That was just as cool as being.
Icon. I know you love Alaska.
I do.
Yeah. That's so fun. But okay, so here's something I want to mention. Allegedly, in the new Marvel film, Captain Marvel 2, the villain is going to be Rogue from X-Men, which is iconic because when we were kids, we were obsessed with Rogue. I feel like Rogue is kind of a gay icon in a way.
Explain.
Well, her power is, this is so nerdy, that like anybody she touches, she'll like suck the life out of them kind of. But like in terms of when she's touching another mutant, she takes their power.
Right.
And she's always like longing to like touch her lover. And it's very like closeted gay.
Whoa.
And it's like, I can't touch my lover. I don't know. I think like young kids, I like, always connected with Rogue.
But and that was Anna Paquin.
Not that I ever had lovers.
And that was Anna Paquin in the Oscar winner.
Oscar winner Anna Paquin.
At like 10
years
old.
Should she have been nominated for The Irishman?
Sure, why not? There's room for everybody.
Okay, also I have to talk about Cheer.
Yes.
Which on Netflix, the documentary series,
which is
I think one of the best parts of 2020.
And
so
unexpected.
Far. Unexpected. I know nothing about cheerleading.
I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, no, it's so good. And it's like one of those things where like suddenly like you might know nothing about this sport or anything, and then you watch and you're like, you know what making the mat is and you know what baskets are.
I
like
know.
It's crazy.
And they're all so talented.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, Gabby, her family is so cracked. I'm so sorry to them. Sorry to this family.
I don't know. Yeah, Gabby, I don't think you've met Gabby. Our guest has watched one episode of Cheer.
Oh my God.
So.
Wait, but I have to say, there was something that was so funny in the one episode where we meet Gabby's family and they're all like, they're such a business and they have this bikini company or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she's like sitting at the table talking to her sister and her sister's like, and I'm gonna ask you to post this on Instagram and if you could tag our company. And I was like, this is so awkward. This is like, of course she's gonna post it, but it reminded me of you asking me to post things for Drama.
Oh my God. You are the Gabby.
I know, and you're her sister.
Fun.
Also her family. Remember when her mom... Okay, I can't even talk about it.
Yeah, no, it's troubled.
I know.
It's a troubled situation.
But I love it. It's so good. It reminds me of like what The Hills and Laguna Beach, like the season one when they didn't really know what they were in for, like this cultural phenomenon and the cameras. And it's kind of like these odd conversations that we're like watching. It's not like Bravo reality TV where it's very produced and they know, okay, you're going to go to this restaurant and have this confrontation about that thing that happened at this party. It's definitely more like kind of a bird's eye view on what their lives are.
I love
that. But I have to say, even though The Hills wasn't a documentary, it very well could have been about what America did and how they wronged Heidi Montag. Anyway, okay.
Okay.
We need to get into this.
I think it's time.
I'm just ranting.
I think it's time we jump into the episode.
Should I bring our guest in?
I think it's your turn.
All right, here we go. Ding dong. Our guest today is best known for sharing the Book of Mormon with audiences on Broadway, across the country in the U.S. tour, and in the London company of the long-running Tony-winning smash hit as Elder Price. He most recently traveled the U.S. in the acclaimed national tour of Hello, Dolly! As the dreamy Cornelius Hackle opposite Betty Buckley and Carolee Carmello. His winning smile and unreal voice has also brought to life the characters of Emmett Forrest in Legally Blonde, Woody in the Disney Cruise Line smash, Toy Story the Musical, along with starring in Floyd Collins' Les Miserables, and much more. You've seen him on the Tony Awards, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, oh my God, and performing in concerts and shows throughout the city for years. Please welcome to drama, Nick Rulo.
Hello. Thank
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
What a lovely introduction.
Do you like how I said ding dong?
I like it.
Are you tired of that?
No, but it reminded me of this like sorority chant that we recorded once at Mormon. Like, ding dong, I am a Mormon boy. Ding dong, two by two, we deploy. Ding dong. Like,
oh, my God, I love it.
So stupid. You can find it on Instagram.
I feel like that's just in your blood at this point.
Being a Mormon.
Mormonism.
Honestly, I grew up down the street from a Mormon church.
Oh.
Like, literally at the end of my main street was a Mormon church. So I passed by it every day on my way to school.
And wow. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Bay Area, Los Altos, California.
Oh, nice.
Just a little south of San Francisco.
Is there, like, theater in that area?
I mean, yeah. Actually, at the time, there was this theater in San Jose called American Musical Theater that, like, James Monroe Iglehart was performing
wow.
at. Like, I grew up watching him in these shows. They've since just turned into a touring house, as a lot of those theaters
okay.
have. But we had all the national tours coming in because between San Jose and San Francisco, like, every show came in. And then we had tons of children's theater, which is where I was sort of, like,
of course,
living my best life.
Yes.
From ages 8 to 18.
Aww.
I love it.
Wait, before we jump in or go any further, I do need to ask you a very important question.
Mm.
Are you well?
Do I look ill?
No. It's something we actually ask all of our guests.
I love this.
Yeah.
It's just open to interpretation.
Do I look ill?
Do I look ill? I'm doing great.
Do I look ill?
Amazing.
Maybe I should have, like, showered again.
No.
I don't know.
You are drinking you're drinking a green juice.
I am drinking a green juice. So that's being well, healthy.
Yeah, oh, yes.
I'm doing great.
You seem great.
Thank you.
You have this energy that you're just emanating.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
I'm, like, living my best life. I'm between jobs, so I'm just living my fun employment dreams.
Yeah, and which this is, like, rare for you, though.
Well, thank you.
Because you've been working steadily.
I've been very lucky, but it's been really nice to have a break, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, especially just to be, like, here in New York.
Yeah.
And to have, like, a nightlife.
Yeah, I don't
different.
Have a nightlife. I'm such a grandpa.
And that's what you said, like, your life of going to gay bars and all that stuff
done.
Is done.
Done. No. I've got a dog and a fiance, so I just stay at home and just, like, we make dinners and hang out and go on long walks. And
oh my God, I can't decide what I'm more jealous of, the dog or the fiance.
I think the dog, she's really stinking cute.
What kind of dog is she?
She's a Wheaton Terrier.
Oh.
Her name is Hattie. She's two. She's a fluff ball, and she's so cute. It's so soft.
Oh, my God.
You should have brought her.
I should have, but she's so naughty.
I'm sure she would have been like, we need another microphone for her.
Yes.
In her terrible twos.
Exactly.
Where did you get that name?
Funny story. So her full name is Haddington.
Okay.
Because we knew we wanted her to have, like, an old British sounding name.
Of course.
But then we wanted to shorten it to something cute that was, you know, easier to say. So my fiance was just, like, looking at a map on Google Maps, and in Scotland is a town called Haddington. And he goes, what about Haddington? I go, perfect. Let me call her Hattie.
Oh, that's cute.
How cute. It's very Downton Abbey.
Thank you. Choice two was, like, Eleanor, and then her name would be Ellie.
Yeah, I like that too.
That's really
maybe
cute.
Maybe if there's ever a sister.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Down the line. That's so fun. Okay, and so you have a fiance. We usually talk about love a little bit later on.
We can wait. We can come back to love.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay.
There's so much to say always about love.
Drama.
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 Oh, my God.
But thanks for doing this. We've actually been fans of yours for a long time.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I think we saw you in the tour of Book of Mormon in Cleveland probably 100 years ago.
You know what? I didn't do Cleveland. I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
Maybe Columbus?
So here's the scoop, is most of my tour, quote unquote, was, like, in Chicago. We sat down in Chicago for almost a year.
Okay.
And then the show toured from there, but I only went to Denver, San Francisco, and Omaha, Nebraska.
Wow.
Before going back to New York to do the show again on Broadway.
You know,
interesting.
I do remember who we saw now. We saw Mark Evans.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. To be fair, like, we kind of all look the same.
Well, yeah. Well, plus we were, like, far back. So,
yeah,
like, it's
and
like,
we're all the same type, and, you know, especially from far away.
Yeah,
we all kind of
yeah.
sound the same.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I get that all the time.
Because especially because you did it for a long time.
Everyone's like, I saw you in the show, and they'll say a city, and I'll be like, And oftentimes I'll kind of just be nice. I'll know I didn't go there, but I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. But I'm going to be truthful with you.
I appreciate honesty. Thank you.
Oh my God. Yeah, we did see Mark Evans. Mm-hmm. And then we randomly saw it in Columbus, our senior year of college. Mm-hmm. I think twice.
Where'd you go to school?
Ohio State.
Oh, nice.
Go Bucks.
OSU.
That's right.
Cool. My college professor was obsessed with Ohio State. So like every piece of clothing he wore, even though he taught at NYU, was Ohio
State.
Wait,
that's so random.
You went to NYU.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy that?
I did.
Oh my God.
Hang on. I'm fixated on this. Did he explain why? Was it a sports thing?
Well, he's from Ohio.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so just a huge Ohio.
That's sort of just like something you're born with.
Yeah. It definitely seemed like I'm not the biggest sports fan to be honest. Yeah, so like I just kind of was like, okay, cool.
Right.
Go Bucks. Bucks, right?
Yeah, you got
it. Yes. No, you're a jock.
Thank you.
You know all of it.
Dom masked jock.
That's great.
But yeah, Book of Mormon. So we didn't see you in it, but I guess I just always imagine, like, I associate you with it.
Thank you. I mean, I did it for
forever.
Fucking long time.
Yes.
Over 2,500 shows over 6.5 years.
Yeah. Oh my God. Did your voice hold up?
It had its moments where it didn't want to, for sure. But that's normal with that show. You can't sing that show 8 times a week and have like healthy vocal cords.
Sure.
It's just not going to happen. So, but you know, the show's really great when you're feeling rough and they need to give you a week or two off, they do. And they take care of us so well, which they know they have to if they want us to stick around and do the show for as long as we all want to. So
just out of curiosity, were you part of the original cast then?
So, yes and no.
Okay.
So I was the original standby for Elder Price for Andrew Rannells, but they didn't have one when the show first opened.
Oh.
They kind of thought maybe that the role wasn't as hard as it was and that they could just have coverage and from other people in the building who all did a great job, but then they realized like, oh, this role is really hard.
Sure.
And so they decided to hire a standby for Elder Price. They already had one for Elder Cunningham.
Okay.
So right after the Tonys is when they started holding auditions. So I was like non-equity performer, fresh off the Legally Blonde non-equity tour.
Yes.
And going in for like this big Broadway show and as luck would have it, I booked it.
And you booked it like right as the show was like a supernova.
Literally like a couple weeks after the Tony Awards. So like I came in at this just like crazy time. The first night I was like backstage, Oprah Winfrey was in the audience.
Oh my God.
So I was like, oh, what did I get into? This is crazy.
Did she come back afterwards?
She did, but I was so new. I didn't know that like guests come backstage. So I was like watching in the back and I watched her like take her seat. And then like at bows, I just went home. And then like an hour later, I'm seeing on Instagram, like the whole cast is posting pictures of Oprah. And I was like, what did I do? Like I went home to I have a box set of like Oprah's like best moments on DVD that my friend gave me for my birthday. I was like holding it like, oh, I just missed her.
I'm sorry. You know, you will meet her eventually though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I learned my lesson and I stuck around for every other guest.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
to the show.
Cause it was like, I mean, and I think it still is one of the hottest shows on Broadway. I mean,
but like, especially like that, those first 2 years, like everyone was coming to the show. It was like Hamilton or Hadestown, you know,
We're
getting all those celebrities.
Dear Evan Hansen.
Who did you meet?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, like Bruce Springsteen, RuPaul, multiple times.
No way.
Multiple times?
Oh, he came back because Todrick Hall would bring him. Todrick would come all the time. So he brought Rue twice.
Well, Rue loves like irreverent humor.
Yes.
And so I'm
and just
sure
loves
Rue...
Broadway.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As you, like, if you listen to his podcast, it's just like all the time
Rue
talking about what have you seen.
Mm-hmm. That is so fun. I'm jealous. You know, they say never to meet your heroes, but I feel like in one of those settings where they're coming back to say hello to you after a show.
It's like the ideal setting. Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
As opposed to like approaching someone on the street nervously. Because you never know.
You do never know. Like one time we had Jennifer Lewis come and everyone was obsessed with her. She literally sat on Nabalungi's hut on stage for about an hour after the show and like lectured us and like preached to us, and like we were all just sitting there with our mouths agape just listening to like what Mama had to offer.
Mother of Black Hollywood. That's what she called, that's her book and everything. Mother of Black Hollywood. She was holding court.
Yeah, she was.
That is
everyone
iconic.
Was just listening. It was amazing.
That's so cool. I love that so much. Wait, who is your Elder Cunningham for much of the
I had 17 Elder Cunninghams.
17.
Mm-hmm. I mean the first one I did it with Josh Gad. And then I had Jared Gertner, who was the standby at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But then in Chicago, it was me and Ben Platt.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we did it together for 2 years.
Wow. So you guys went... Did you go from Chicago then to Broadway?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a crazy adventure.
How
yeah, so
fun.
We opened the Chicago company together.
Okay. So the Chicago was a sit-down that eventually became
a tour? It was
a sit-down
that became a tour. So then they had two national tours going at the same time.
Okay.
And then they closed that tour. And so now they just have one at the moment.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's still going strong.
It is.
Wow. I mean, doing that many shows, was there ever a moment where you were just kind of like, on like autopilot, like going through the motions, or is
that's
it
a good question. I don't think the show like allows you to go into autopilot. I guess in a way, like as soon as the show starts, you have no choice but to do it.
Yeah.
So you just have to do it. But it's so fun and the material is so good.
Oh yeah.
And it almost feels like a crime to go on autopilot with that show. Because when you're given like a hit show like that and the material is as good as the buzz around it, you have to like respect the show and do, you know, do what it calls for.
Definitely. So
I like to say that I left before I entered autopilot.
Ooh.
Whether anyone else agrees with me or not, I don't know and I don't care, but that's how I feel.
Yeah. No, it's like leaving the party while you're still having fun.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I mean, I could have done that show for like 15 years.
And they would have
sometimes I even think I could still like go back.
I'm surprised you aren't going to at some point.
I mean, I guess I could still play 19. Yeah. I mean, Gavin Creel played 19 when he was 40 in the show.
There you go.
So I've still got some years.
Yeah. How old's Cornelius in Hello Dolly supposed to be?
Well, in the script, he's 33.
Oh.
Which I just turned this week.
Oh, yes.
But
happy
someone
belated.
Actually, thank you.
Yeah. Aquarius.
Thank you. But someone just told me that that was I don't know if this is true. We should fact check this. But someone said that was a script change for the revival with Bette Midler because Gavin was a little older, that they changed it to 33 and that actually the original script is 27.
Oh.
So I'm like, then why didn't you change it back for the tour? Because like I was 31 and my cover was like 25.
Huh.
We were definitely more baby yeah. looking.
Aww.
Baby Cornelius.
Yeah. Hashtag Tornelius.
Tornelius.
That was what
That's
I kept
so
calling
fun.
Myself.
So you and Gavin have sort of like had these like
we
I would
have.
Yeah, these like parallel careers.
Yeah. It's been crazy.
He opened the West End.
He opened the West End. Well, he opened the first national tour before that.
Okay.
While I was still a standby on Broadway.
Okay.
And then he opened the West End and then he actually it was his idea for us to switch. Because he wanted to come back to Broadway and he knew I was like interested in the West End. So he put it in the producer's mind, like, what if Nick and I switched places? And I was like, yes.
And they were
like,
just cool with that?
Yes. They're the coolest producers ever.
They sound amazing.
They're so great.
We need to get them to produce more things.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Scott Rudin who produces everything.
Yes.
So I don't think he has time to produce anything else. And then it's Anne Garofino who does South Park. Like she's done South Park since day one. And so she comes from the TV world. So like, this was her first like big theater producing experience. And she was like Mama Hen. She just took care of all of us and like wanted us all to be happy because she realized if we were happy, then we could do the show better.
Yeah.
And the show would see better results.
Yeah.
So she, I mean, even still to this day, like she takes care of all of us.
That
She's
is
just
so,
so nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear.
Wait, really quick. I need to ask about Ben Platt.
Yeah.
Was that like when you were, so he jumped into Chicago first.
Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of like his A Star Is Born moment? Like,
I mean, it was like, so he was at the time to me, like a huge deal with Pitch Perfect.
Oh,
but like
right.
only
okay.
Pitch Perfect
right.
One had come out.
Yeah.
So he was nowhere near the star he is like today.
Right.
But I remember at the time we were everyone in the cast was like, oh my God, he's got like 50,000 followers on Instagram. Like, how cool is this? I think now he's got like a million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, wow. So he just like exploded. But he and I were so, so close.
Aww.
And still are. But like that was such a special experience for us. And like his family took me under their wing and like really took care of me. And my family loves him. And he's invited to our wedding. You might not know this yet,
so
but Ben, you're invited to the wedding.
Oh, he listens.
So it's just been amazing to watch his success and see where he's gone. It's just crazy.
That's
fun.
So cool. 'Cause it was like both of you guys sort of at the beginning of like these careers and now you're still close. That's really fun.
Yeah. He's a sweet, sweet boy.
Oh yeah. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were talking a little bit about Cornelius and doing the Hello Dolly tour. So we actually saw you in the Dolly tour.
You did.
Yes. Well, but I only saw half of
Dylan
the show.
Only saw act one.
Oh,
wait, this is
bad.
Drama.
I one acted the show, but not like the fun way where you like you go in to watch
did
the
you,
second half.
Did you throw up?
I had to leave because I had left my luggage in my boyfriend's car and when we parted ways earlier that day and I was flying back to New York a few days later and I needed to get my luggage from his
Got
car.
It.
It was really complicated. It was
we were in Columbus. The luggage was in his car and he went back to Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Cleveland. We were flying out at like 6 a.m. the next morning or something. And you had to go get all of your things. So you went to Cleveland, went back to Dayton, went back to Cleveland.
It was like four.
That's a lot. That's
it was
a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dylan,
do
was
anything
like,
for love.
But Dylan was like, I need to see part of the show.
I know, yeah.
So you saw act one.
So I saw act one, which I love act one. And I think it's actually, I prefer it to act two.
Okay, well then great.
Act two is mostly just the at the Harmonia Gardens.
Harmonia Gardens.
So, but which is so fun and everything. But
oh, good.
I saw Act One and you were fantastic.
Thank you.
We Sunday Close, baby. Number.
Sunday Close. Gosh, that song is so high.
Oh my God, you slayed. You were amazing.
Thank you.
I know, for real.
They just kept raising the key in rehearsal, so that was fun.
Really?
Was it higher than Gavin did it?
So they raised it for Gavin for the revival, and then with Andy Einhorn, the music director, we were like working on it. He's like, what if we like raised it again? So then we like raised it, and he's like, yeah, that's it. And I was like, oh my God, Andy. So that took some rehearsal.
That but, is, you were incredible.
Because Cornelius goes so low. Like, the thing is he goes so low to so high, and I just don't have like a big low range. So like it only takes a moment. We raised again from Gavin as well.
Okay. Love that song.
Oh, that show. It was like the best show to do after Book of Mormon because it was so easy. Like I got all of like the payoff of the role and like playing such a fun role, but like with like a fraction of the work.
Sure.
So that was really nice.
That's kind of nice. And you got to tour again.
And I got to tour, which I love. And I toured with my fiance and my dog.
Oh.
Like we drove every city.
Oh my God.
So we saw you in Cleveland where you launched. So
Cleveland, which was our opening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had done Tech in Utica and then Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah.
I loved Cleveland.
Yeah?
We were there for 2 weeks. People like knock Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you watch The Bachelor?
Oh yeah.
They went to Cleveland.
They
like, that
go
was
to
their, like
Cleveland.
Big city people like wah wah.
I know.
That was so freaking
they were like,
funny.
Yay.
They're like, oh.
I know.
I had the best time in Cleveland.
Oh, I'm so
I mean,
glad.
We had a great Airbnb. Our dog loved it. There was this like bar, this cocktail bar that we kept going back to.
Where did you live?
I live down at the Flats.
Oh, fuck.
Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So oh, my God.
Would, like tailgate for the football games, like right outside our apartment.
It was in the
was
fall.
Kind of
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Flats is really fun. There's like that. What's it called? It's like kind of like an arcade.
Punchbowl Social.
Punchbowl Social.
We were literally living above that.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a really cool place.
It was really
and there
cool.
was that taco place nearby there.
Mm-hmm.
Coastal Taco.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I lived in Cleveland as a young adult between the years of 2017 and late 2018.
Okay.
And I worked in Ohio City, which was a neighborhood nearby. So we would go to the Flats all the time.
Oh, yeah. We went to Ohio City.
So fun.
There was a great coffee shop there that was like in a old firehouse.
Yeah. Oh my God. I used to go there like
I can
every
see
day.
The logo in my head, but I don't remember.
Rising Star.
Yes, Rising Star.
Rising Star.
Oh, Connor worked at a spin studio in Cleveland called Harness Cycle, which I'm sure some of the Dolly
and actually
sure
we would have a lot of national tours come through, like the Wicked tour. There was like a Non-Ec Rent tour that came by, like all these different tours, and they would come and ride, and they did like themed classes with us.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, it was really
we
fun.
We didn't get to do that.
It was because I was gone.
You weren't there.
Yeah, I wasn't there to spearhead.
I don't like them.
But shout out to Danny Store who listens to Drama, and she worked at Harness with me, and
Danny.
I love her, and she loves Broadway, and she would always coordinate all that. So shout out. But I'm so glad you enjoyed Cleveland.
Yeah, it was great.
And that was at Playhouse Square and the Connor Palace.
Which was so cool. Yeah. All those theaters there. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's so great. So you had this amazing cast. Mm-hmm. Was it everyone new to Dolly except for Irene Malloy? Annalise, was that her name?
Annalisa Lemming had covered the role on Broadway. And then actually my fiance who was in the show had gone in Broadway
Wait,
too. He replaced
that.
Max Clayton when Max left.
Who is your fiance?
Corey Hummerston.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute.
Who is this
Sweet.
Man? I need to look him up.
Instagram stalking.
I know, I will.
He, oh my gosh, yes, because I work at 54 and I put his like headshot on our
site
and updated and something like that. Oh my God, I did not know that he was.
Yeah.
Wait, did you guys meet?
We met doing Book of Mormon.
Oh my God.
So we've actually lucked out to do two shows together. He was in the original company in Chicago as well. So me and Ben Platt were like the three amigos, like best friends, like hanging out. And then Corey and I took it a little step further.
And then Ben was like,
and then
oh,
Ben was
man.
Like, am I the third wheel? We're like, no, we still love you. But like, we also love each other like in a different way.
That
funny.
Is so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love
so you guys have been together for a while then.
Almost 7 years. Six and a half, 7 years.
Wick.
Yeah.
To be gay years, that's like 14.
That's forever.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
That's great.
I need to Insta-stalk him.
You can. At Hummer CR.
Okay.
He mostly posts pictures of our dog, which is also really great.
That's great.
I want to see Hattie. I would like to see it.
But I
would love to see Hattie. Yeah, that's so cute.
Yeah, so Annalisa was in the show and Corey was in the show. And then Maddie Apple, one of our ensemble girls, was in it. There's actually quite a few in the ensemble. Jessica Sheridan, who was our Dolly understudy, who was amazing.
Oh my God.
She was in the Broadway company. Nate Keen, who was one of our swings. Ian Liberto, our dance captain. A ton.
Okay, cool.
So it was a nice mix. And then we had a lot of new people too.
Yeah.
But we had like a full rehearsal process. So it felt like a new show. You know, like 4 weeks in a studio with Jerry Zaks.
Wow.
Like who could ask for anything
Legend.
More? It was so cool. It was a really tough experience. He's like really hard on you
okay.
in the best way. But I loved that, and I'll never forget that experience.
Because I heard that when Bernadette went into the Broadway show, they had like a whole new like tech and rehearsal
They did,
process.
Yeah.
So I could only imagine it was similar.
Yeah, and especially, you know, for Betty Buckley too, to like learn that role, that's a huge role. So she needs, everyone who does that role needs a 4-week process. Yeah. Like, it's a lot to learn. Our Vandegelder was amazing. Louis J. Stadler.
He's a legend.
Oh my God.
He was perfect in that role.
He was so good. Mm-hmm. He's like the most lovable curmudgeon you've ever seen. And just like a delight. Off stage too.
And he's had a career.
He's had an amazing career. Mm-hmm. He's got stories. And if you just like sit down with him, he just will talk in the best way. And you will hear some stuff that you can't repeat to your mother.
Oh my God. Well, we got to get him on drama.
I need a plug. He was on Rob Schneider and Kevin David Thomas's podcast, Behind the Curtain. And he tells a lot of those stories. It is so good. He's great.
He's written a book. You can read a lot of it too.
Yeah. I love it.
I think he's writing another one. He was going to write like a expose of his time, like touring the country with Hello Dolly. So I don't know how that's going.
Oh my God.
But I'm very curious to read.
That's drama.
Will I get a mention?
Like different names? Do they can like replace the
I don't
names?
Know.
You'll
be like
probably
Rick Newlow. No one will know.
You iconically also spell your name N-I-C.
I do. It's an interesting story. I spell Nicholas without an H as well.
Oh, okay.
That's actually how
sense.
Like Nicholas Cage does it. I would like to say like my parents had some great reason for it, but it was really just they got a wedding invitation in the mail from their friends and it said Nicholas spelled that way. And they loved it. And my mom was pregnant with me at the time. So she's like, that's what I'm going to name my son. They later found out it was a typo on the wedding invitation.
No way.
But alas, it's still my name.
That's like, we always tell the story that Dylan was named, like the name Dylan and the spelling of Dylan was for Bob Dylan.
Oh.
And then my name was because of some boy that was in my older brother's Boy Scout troop. So very.
Our mom just liked the name.
She just liked it. So Dylan has
a
fun.
Cooler story and you have a less cool story.
So
maybe?
Uncool.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. But I don't really know any other Connors.
We toured with the Connor in Hello Dolly.
Was he cool?
He was great. Now he's on the Hamilton tour.
Oh my God, he's booked.
Booking.
That's
hashtag
fun.
Booked.
I know.
Although there is a character named Connor in Dear Evan Hansen.
There is.
And...
Oh, actually, and my nephew's name is Connor. Like, forget that. That should be the first one that comes to my mind.
Oh my God. Anyway.
Wait, so when you guys get married...
Yes.
Are you going to do the hyphen?
No.
Just keep your last
name. Because we both have kind of long last names, like Hummerston Rouleau. Like, that doesn't flow off the tongue.
No, not at all.
Sounds like a law firm.
Yeah. And like people are like, well, maybe you could like combine your name together. And we're like, Hummerlow? No.
I've seen weird things like that.
Mm-mm. So neither of us has any desire to have each other's last name in the nicest way possible.
Yes.
So we will keep our names.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
Do you know there was a Alexa Vega who was in Spy Kids.
Yeah.
Her and her husband, his name was Carlos Pena. They combined their last names and it's Pena Vega.
He was in Grease Live.
Yeah, he was.
He was
my mind goes somewhere totally dirty listening to both of those names.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I know.
But good for them.
Yeah. They're happy.
Whatever works.
Exactly.
You do you.
So did you also do Dolly with Carolee Carmello?
I didn't.
Okay.
So year one was just Betty Buckley. And then we took like a 4-week hiatus from the show. And then Carolee and John Bolton started after that. But she was with us in Boston rehearsing.
Oh, cool.
So I didn't get to rehearse with her, but she was in the building. I got to meet her and she was so nice.
Ugh.
And I hear she's amazing in the show.
I've heard she's amazing.
I think I'm going to go down to Philly in a couple weeks and see it and see her in it. And catch up with everybody.
So did a lot of people remain with
it? It was
cast
about 50-50.
Okay.
About 50% of the cast left, and then the other half stuck around to do more, and then they hired a brand new batch of people.
Fun.
I have to say, that revival of Hello Dolly is one of the most perfect productions of anything
it's
I've
gorgeous.
Ever seen.
It's
it
just
is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. The costumes are so expensive.
Oh, yeah.
The set, like, to tour with a set like that, like, we had a train moving across the stage.
Yes.
I don't get how they did it. I mean, it took up like all of the wing space backstage.
Sure.
But it was a really lavish production and just beautifully done. And Jerry has such an awesome sense of like how to direct a show like that and like find its heart. Like and find the comedy, obviously, but it had such a nice heart and it was a really special production.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I remember when we saw it, we were like, wow, that is Broadway.
Yeah, like, it is. It's like the quintessential Broadway show. We would say that all the time in press in every city because a lot of people are like, oh, I kind of know Hello Dolly. Should I see it? And I'm like, yes, you should because like this is like the Broadway production.
So you've been a part of these two giant hit shows.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's been crazy.
Yeah. I wonder what's next.
Me too.
We'll see. I think it's time to ask him the question.
Yes, Dylan, go off.
You want me to go ahead? So yes, you know, we like to ask our guests sort of like, what was that moment where the a life in the arts knocked on their door, maybe rang the doorbell.
Oh, ding dong.
And whispered to them and said, come on.
Come on in.
Come on and join me. We call it the Ring of Keys moment, where you sort of were like, wow, this is something I identify with. Would you say you have something?
I feel like I could give you like 1,500 different examples.
Okay.
But like, starting off like the earliest thing, like, I would watch The Sound of Music, the movie, as a kid all the time. And that's what like got me into like theater and singing. And I just would like watch it nonstop. And then when I was 8, I did my first like children's theater production back home. I did a production of Peter Pan and I was a lost boy. And I just had the best time. And I've like told this story before, but I've looked back at a production photo that's like some mom took in the audience. And it's the scene where like Wendy's dead, or not dead, but like laying with the arrow in her heart. Uh-huh. And all the lost boys are like looking at her in like various states of distress or whatever. And I'm looking dead out at the audience with a giant smile on my face. And so I was like, well, I clearly didn't know what acting was at the time, but I knew I was happy. Mm-hmm. So like looking back on that photo, I think like that had to have been the moment where I was like, this is where I feel like really welcome and that I belong and happy.
Oh, that's so cute. Wait, which lost boy were you? My boyfriend was in it as a kid.
I was Slightly Soiled.
That was the character that he was.
Slightly Soiled. That's my name.
Oh.
Like my mother put my name in all my clothes.
that was your line?
Yeah.
You still remember it.
Duh.
Your Ring of Keys. It rings true.
But like, how cool is it? Like, I feel like in this business, you guys probably have like 1,000 Ring of Keys moments. And I feel like they still happen like today. Like I see a show and I feel like that's a Ring of Keys moment. Like it feels so proud to be in this business or inspired to perform. And it's like cool that those never stop.
Oh my God. When I saw The Inheritance, I was like,
I just saw it last week.
You did? Oh my God. Did you like it?
I left part two uncontrollably crying on the train. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah.
But I needed like a full hour to like process and get it together.
Mm-hmm. It was so much.
I just think it's like, people have issues with shows all the time. And I've heard some complaints about that show from friends, but like, the story that it's telling is such an important story that I'm like really happy that we're getting representation for something like that.
Yes.
So like any time we can represent the gay community in that way, I'm all for it. And I think it's wonderful.
Me too.
Thank you, Nick. Job. Yes.
I felt so seen.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, it's so many different moments.
Yeah. Like I could nitpick things and like, and like pick apart what I didn't like, but like, you know, that's not my job. I'm not a critic.
Yeah.
I had a great time and I'm so grateful to that company to put on that show.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful.
Yeah, it was so beautiful.
One of my favorite parts about the second part was when Lois Smith gave her sort of long monologue.
Oh my God.
I think there was a lump in my throat from that point.
That was the moment where I was like just sitting there like trying to hold it back. Just tears were streaming down my face and I'd be like sat there alone. Oh. But you could tell like everyone around you was like having the same moment. Mm-hmm. Her performance was beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. And Tony, I think it'll be remembered come Tony season.
Oh, you think so?
I have to say, I really do. I think it's one of those.
It's a little early,
but I think it's one of those featured moments that stands out.
She's incredible.
Although I wonder, because it's one play but presented in two parts, I wonder if that changes eligibility since she's the spoiler only in part two. I don't know. I guess probably not.
And only in like act three of part two, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was really like, where is she? When's she coming on?
We're seeing her in production photos and being like, like, and then they had a little kid randomly, like truly for like 15
little
minutes.
Toby, right?
Was it even 15 minutes? It felt like 15 seconds. I was like, I mean, great for him. Mm-hmm. Like, get that Broadway contract.
He's equity.
Seriously.
That's so funny. No, I would say that's really like a really observant thing for you to say about how like Ring of Keys moments happen a lot.
And that's
special. And the beauty of staying in this business for so long, I guess, just that you constantly are like reawakening yourself.
Well, if you don't have those moments, like maybe it's time for you to get out, you know, like if you don't have the joy, because what we do is like really just like play around for a living, which is amazing. So like, you've got to find the joy in that.
You have to. I mean, I work in theater, and without saying too much, like I know people who, they hate everything they see.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, what do you like? Because you're working in and around this all the time. And it's like, are you still enjoying this or not? Like what? I don't know.
That's tea.
It is. But like you do. Like you can be critical of things and like have a critical eye. Mm-hmm. But like, you also have to just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Not everything is going to be Angels in America. Right. Not everything is going to be like a Pulitzer Prize winning piece of theater. Like, We dance and sing around and tell jokes. Like,
yes.
It's not that serious.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
And when it is,
it's great. But when it's not, like, also enjoy that.
I know. There are so many things that I love that are my favorite things that aren't necessarily considered critically acclaimed. Mm-hmm. But I think I love those things even more because they're special to me, or they bring me joy in some way. Like, yes. It's like watching The Bachelor or something, yes, you know? Like, yeah. I love it.
Wait, just like Legally Blonde too, which is
literally Legally yes. Blonde. Mm-hmm. Like, you could put on that soundtrack and we'd probably all have the best time ever just listening to it. Oh, or like, for me, The Wedding Singer.
Wait, same.
Dylan is obsessed.
Love The Wedding Singer.
Corey had never heard it until a recent road trip. So like, I was like, we had like hours. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, we're starting this from start to finish.
Yes.
I like knew every lyric.
Of course.
Like, oh my God, how do you know this? I was like, this is my jam in high school.
Right in front of your eyes, Amy Spanger, her act two number is incredible. I mean, every song is great.
It's so good.
My boyfriend was in it in high school. And so we watched like the video of his production and I was hooked. And like, they did like that Spotify Wrapped thing that for the first year. And it was Wedding Singer was my first thing. I was like, this is embarrassing. This musical came out like 10, 11 years ago. Like, it is so good. We need a revival with the original cast.
Oh my God.
Or you know what? You.
Me? Can I play? Yeah. Can I play the Laura Benanti role?
Yeah,
that would be really good. It's Julia Guglia.
Julia Guglia. You know who was supposed to, like, was up for that role as well? Was Carrie Butler.
Oh, I could see her being really good.
Carrie Butler was up for that, Little Mermaid,
and
Legally Blonde, and Xanadu all at the same time.
I mean, I don't feel too bad for her because she still has booked some amazing
stuff. Oh yeah.
But isn't that crazy? Like, those roles could go to anybody.
I know.
I have to say, I think this is a drama confession, like original. Legally Blonde is, it's in my top five favorite musicals of all time.
100%.
It's amazing.
Because, okay, I could talk about this all day.
Let's talk about
it. Because it actually is a really good musical.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, book and, like, plot and story, like, it's actually a very well done adaptation of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it all makes sense. Maybe, like, the Paulette stuff is the only sort of miss, depending on who you talk to.
Sure.
But, like, everything else is, like, it's so good.
It's so good.
It's so clever.
It's so clever. You have this girl that starts at one place, and she ends, and she completely changes.
Yeah.
Which I think indicates this hero's journey. She really becomes herself. I think, and, you know, I think, Lily, I could go on and on. It's relevant always.
Always.
Always, always, always. Like, this woman who is always going to, she believes in love.
Yeah.
She's a loyal friend, and she learns how to use every tool in her toolbox to, like, become the best version of herself. I mean,
I love
it sounds
that we're having
so
a serious
that's
conversation
his right
about
now.
Legally Blonde,
I mean,
but it's true.
He's serving Elle Woods and his pink ensemble today. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Nice. Elle was on the brain. But I think also it's one of those musical movie adaptations that's like both of them are so amazing
They're
and iconic
so
in their own ways with their performances. And oh my God, Legally Blonde the musical. How they bring in her sorority sisters as a Greek chorus.
It's so good. It's smart.
It's so good.
I love
so good.
Like a good musical moves the story forward in with song and like the Chip on My Shoulder sequence and like What You Want, like things like that, it really moves it around.
Yeah.
So you did the Non-Equity tour.
Oh, yes.
Legally Blonde.
Did you go to Cleveland with that?
We did go to Cleveland one night, I think.
Oh.
We had a lot of one night engagements, which was really rough.
That's hard.
So like we'd be like on the bus at like 5 a.m. We would have egg crate like mattresses on the floor and we would sleep on the floor like across. So some people would be on the seats across, other people literally on the floor. We'd like get to our new city at like 1 or 2. The set would have like somehow maybe been put in at that time or like it was just a curtain and a table and that's what we were performing with. But we had the best time.
Aww.
And like audiences loved it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and we worked with all the associates from the Broadway production, which was really cool. So like Mark Bruni and DB Bonds were like, and Rusty Mowry were like doing the show and Jerry came and watched and it was really fun. It was really cool. And I made some really good friends there. Because how can you not when you're living on a bus together? You
know? Right.
Yeah.
Elle was Nikki Bonny.
Oh.
Do you know her? She did.
Yeah.
She did Wicked for a while and she did Bring It On.
Love.
And she's now living in California with the most gorgeous husband and has two kids and doing great. And
oh my goodness.
That's the dream.
Yeah. They must be season pass holders at Disneyland.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous.
She's there like every day. She's
like
a master. She's got a great Instagram you can follow about like life with kids at Disneyland.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I feel like I want kids so that I can bring them to Disney.
It's a good excuse.
Right.
And for other reasons, probably.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
But mostly Disney.
So we are sort of reaching the end.
Oh no.
Sadly. Oh no.
But we do need to like, you know, tie everything in together with what we call the dose of drama.
Oh.
So this
gosh.
Is where we sort of just touch upon something that's going on in your life. We have actually covered so many things that could have been a dose. And
everything's a dose of drama.
I honestly.
Everything.
Nick, that's the catchphrase.
That's tea.
So this is just sort of something to get off your chest. And Connor, why don't you go first?
I know. I'll go first. I never go first.
Today's the day.
This is it. An episode of firsts. Wait, what? Anyway. Okay. So some of my best friends are coming to New York to visit us soon. And you know, we're calling it our Amigas Rue Union Weekend. If you know, you know. Wait. What?
And this episode will have aired after. The weekend,
okay.
So. Rue Union, like Rue Paul?
Yeah. That's, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. We like to just change anything with like a redemption, reunion to Rue Union, just for fun. Stupid, but everyone wants to get a tattoo.
Oh, that is drama.
Myself.
This
included.
Is drama.
Really?
Dylan as well, and our friends Isaiah and Poot. That's Jimmy's. His given name, but he goes by Poot. Poot is also a given name.
Poot's his chosen name.
His chosen name.
I don't want to know how he got that name.
It's not, everybody's not going to get the same tattoo, but we're all going to go together to get tattoos.
Got it.
And I don't think I'm going to get one.
Question, do any of you have tattoos already?
No. Isaiah does have the group. Okay. Yeah, but
do you have a tattoo?
No.
No.
I will never get a
Can't
tattoo.
Can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Exactly. And you never know when I'm going to convert.
I know. Yeah. I know.
No, I have no desire to get a tattoo, but I don't judge anyone who has them. I find them extremely cool. And especially like if it has like a meaning for you and a story, then I'm all about it. It's just not something that's not my journey for me and my life.
Yeah.
But so what are you going to get?
I think I want to get More Life, the last line of Angels in America.
I like that.
Like my inner bicep.
Cool.
Or a shamrock / Celtic type thing, because I'm Irish.
Yes.
My family would actually approve of that kind of a tattoo. Yes. Anything Irish flies in our family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
100%. The Irish butter. Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
And then, Connor, will you get in trouble for not getting a tattoo?
I don't know. I confessed to my girls that I might not be partaking, and they were disgruntled.
Dylan, how do you feel about response. It as the brother?
Okay, so Connor is one of the most indecisive people alive.
This is what it is.
It doesn't surprise me that he wouldn't do it. And our beloved English teacher in high school, Miss Megan Neville Jelen, once said, if you want to get a tattoo, draw it on a piece of paper, put it away, and a year later, if you still want to get it and you revisit it, then you should get it.
That is good advice.
And so it's been over a year for me with these tattoos.
Yeah.
So, and if
that's what I do with every guy I date. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Wait, what? Anyway, that's my dose of drama that I do not believe I'll be getting a tattoo because I truly could not decide what to get.
Especially at this point, if you don't have one that you're like thinking about, like it's going to be last minute. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, when I was 18, I wanted the same tattoo that Harry Styles had on his arm. And when I was 14 or 15, wait, this is like crazy. I wanted the same tattoo that Lea Michele got from Spring Awakening. This is psychotic. She got I Believe on her wrist, which is a lyric from the show.
Yeah.
And I remember wanting it so badly all through like early high school. This is like so sad.
I had the same dressing room as her on Broadway because Spring Awakening was in the Eugene O'Neill and she has I Believe written under the, you know, like people signed the table, the dressing table. She has like her name written there and she wrote I Believe.
Lea's Impact.
Which I was always like, wait, that's my song in the show.
It is. Wait, that's
so I was like, wait, how cool.
So you're
two
getting
shows
it.
In a row had that song.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lea Michele's legacy.
In that dressing room.
In that dressing room.
Andrew Rannells, Gavin Creel, the people, like, oh my been God. In that dressing room.
Wow. Legends in only.
Legend.
It's Dave
and
Thomas
Nick Rouleau.
And now it's Dave Thomas Brown.
Yeah. He's great.
Oh,
yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
Wait, did you decorate your dressing room so it was fun?
I did. I don't know what's still there. That like sticky wallpaper that removes, I put it everywhere. So I had stripes on the wall. I had a whole wall of bananas, which is really
cute.
Fun.
That's cute.
I love bananas.
Yeah. And Andrew like left it pretty decorated when he left. He had like nice taste. His was very like mid-century modern. So it had this like really fierce orange chair in there. And
of course
carpet.
It is. And is that like the, like a, how many like star dressing rooms are there?
It's a pretty small backstage.
Okay.
So there's only three people that have their own dressing room. Just Price, Cunningham, and Nabalungi. Everyone else shares. But like, there's not enough dressing rooms for that. The people in the show. It's a so like swings, vacation swings when they come in have nowhere to go. So they just hang in stage management on the couch.
Yeah.
I've seen like videos of backstage tours of the Eugene O'Neill. I know there's like that upstairs like attic room that's like really long.
Yes.
Its own bathroom and stuff. Do they put like swings and everything?
That's actually all the Mormon boys. The Mormon boys are in both of those back like on the fourth floor and like one's just like narrow. It's literally like the width of the table that we're sitting at here.
Oh my
and
God.
It's like, I don't like to get behind each other to get to the bathroom. I don't know how they
and
do
they
it.
Have more costume changes than anyone else.
Yeah, but too. They do it all downstairs in the basement.
Ooh, fun fact.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
My dose of drama is because we touched upon early Tony predictions.
Oh.
I have been doing the math in my head all week and you don't know this about me, but I am an Aaron Tveit super fan.
Oh.
And I think he is finally going to get his long overdue Tony nomination this year.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of musicals, a lot of things coming out. but there's not necessarily a lot of leading male roles that could be nominated this season. Too many female ones. So mm-hmm. great for the women, but also yeah. like sad that they won't all be able to get nominated. It's looking like it's going to be Aaron, Rob McClure, and then Daniel J. Watts and Tina are like maybe the for sures.
Oh, he's Ike. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And then if Flying Over Sunset, whatever that is going to be, none of us really know. Like, right. I don't even know if much music is released yet. It could be Tony Azbeck and Harry Haddon Payton, I believe right. is how you say his name. But I think Aaron is finally going to get his nomination.
Oh my God, I'm shaking for you.
This is a big moment.
So you think just nomination, not win? Or you think win?
It depends. It really...
Oh, what about Sing Street?
We could see young
boy
O'Connor get nominated as well, but you know he's a kid. Although there is a history of young kids getting nominated, like the Billy Elliots and stuff like that. Yeah. But I don't know if he'll win necessarily, just because people are kind of iffy about.
Has he never been nominated?
Snubbed for Next to Normal, and then the year of
Catch Me If You Can.
Book of Mormon was the tidal wave that year.
Oh, yeah.
But also yeah. Norbert got the leading actor nomination.
That's
for
right.
Catch Me If
he
You
won.
Can, and won.
Mm-hmm.
So was Aaron up for supporting? I guess, but didn't
he was
get
up
nominated,
for lead and
or
just
also
didn't get nominated.
I think it would have been like a Wicked Adina and Kristen
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like Andrew and Josh, like when they were both yeah. nominated, people mm-hmm. think that they kind of canceled each other's votes out.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well,
drama.
That is drama.
Drama.
So well, yeah,
I hope that for you that, and Aaron.
Me too. Me too. He deserves it. It's time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nick, do you?
It's time for my drama.
It's time for your drama.
Well, I just want to come clean with something. I had an audition 2 days ago.
Okay.
And I. This was a really interesting moment. I've never done this before. I kind of verbally assaulted the accompanist. And I'd like to explain and
yes,
clear,
yes,
and clear this moment.
Get it off your chest. Yeah, yeah.
So I was auditioning for An American in Paris.
Oh.
And it was for the role of Henri.
That piano, was a horrible accent.
No, he was the Max von Essen role, the sort of like French one who, you know, wants to be a song and dance man, mm-hmm. a cabaret performer. And they have this arrangement of I've Got Rhythm that is like a funeral march and dreadfully mm-hmm. slow. And
yeah.
in the show, you know, like he's always like, this is so slow. Like, can we speed it up? Blah, blah, blah. And I guess no one had sung this at the audition yet. So I was the first person that the accompanist played it for, and he did not know the show.
Uh-oh.
And so he's playing it. And in one of the musical breaks, I just turned to him in character in a French accent and told him, like, can you please speed it up? Like, this is so slow. And he's so sweetly like, looks over the piano and looks at me and says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just following you. But if you'd like to go faster, then if you start to speed up, I will also go faster. And I was like, and everyone at the table was like, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I wasn't doing it in character and I feel so terribly. And I was like, I was just trying to act. And then we had a big moment where like, everyone behind the table started laughing. And I don't still know if the accompanist felt like we were laughing at him or with him.
Sure,
but
sure.
I, and I don't even know his name, but I just want to say, I'm sorry if you're listening. And
I wanted to say, we actually have him here today.
Oh, Sally, Jesse, Raphael twist.
No, that's so funny. I think that maybe that left a mark on the team.
I hope so. I mean, you know, it's the business. Who knows?
I know. That's so funny.
But I felt terribly. I've never assaulted an accompanist before. I usually try to be so nice to them.
You are like one of the nicest people we've ever talked to. So
truly
a facade.
And you have lovely teeth.
Thank you. My dad's an orthodontist. My whole family is in the dental field. Everybody.
Do you know any good dentists in New York? Oh, we'll talk off pod.
No, I don't. Okay. Everyone asks me. I'm like, no. But if you lived in California, I could give you a million recommendations.
Amazing.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm glad that you cleared the air with this accompanist.
Yes.
And I am just so thankful that you did this with us today.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
So much fun. And everyone can find you and follow you at Nick Rouleau.
That's right.
Which we followed you for a long time. Our friend Jacob Koopman, who we lived with in college, also one time was talking about you. We were all laying in the basement of this house we lived in.
Oh no.
He's like, wait, you guys know Nick Rouleau? And we're like, well, we follow him. So I'm sure he'll be tickled.
He'll be gagged. He listens to drama.
He does, yeah. And you can also follow us at The Drama Podcast for all of the latest in drama and theater and love and life. And follow me at Dylan McDowell.
Follow me at Connor McDowell.
And Nick, thank you.
We love
you.
You're a dream.
So and Connor, we'll see you next time.
Drama.